finding the face of a franchise. It's the Friday Mixer. It's well known that the way to build a winning team in the NFL is through the draft. And so when news broke earlier this month that the newly relocated Los Angeles Rams gave up the kitchen sink to move to the first draft spot, opinion was a bit split. Well, now the team hopes to have the quarterback of the future, their future, in a man with some California connections. But how soon can LA expect results? And can the city be patient with so many other entertainment options in town? Vincent Bonsignor is a sports columnist for the LA Daily News. He joins us from the NFL Draft Day 2 in the windy city of Chicago. Hi, Vinny.
Guys, how are you doing? It is a little windy out here.
Yes, it is. Vinny and Windy. And Andrew Brandt is here, NFL business analyst for ESPN. He was vice president of the Green Bay Packers for several years in the 2000s as well. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, good to be with you.
You bet. Vinny, I guess I'm going to start with you. This is for real, right? We have a football team in Los Angeles, and it had the first round draft pick of Jared Goff, and now this team is like coming together.
A little bit of history was made last night. It's the first time in 22 years that a Los Angeles football team had a draft pick. And first time since 1963, they had the number one pick overall. So a lot of history last night. Now we have not just a team, but it looks like a face to a franchise. But that's on Jared Goff at this point.
That is. The Rams took Cal quarterback Jared Goff. He'd broken some records there up at Berkeley. It was a pick that a lot of folks expected. Is he going to be under center at the start of the season at the Coliseum? Is he going to start?
Well, you know, the Rams sure hope so, but that remains to be seen. Obviously, anytime you're making the jump from college football to the NFL, there's a learning curve. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. He's got to prove to them that he's worthy of that. And any coach, I'm sure Andrew knows this as well as anyone else, players usually have a way of telling coaches and general managers when they're ready to play. And, you know, the Rams obviously hope it's sooner rather than later, though.
How many slots did they give up for this first round? Was it six? Is that what it was?
Five actual picks.
Five actual picks.
Yeah, their first round pick, which was number 15 overall. Their two second-round picks, their third-round pick, next year's first-round pick, and next year's third-round pick. So it was quite the haul. But, you know, when you do something unprecedented, nobody's ever gone from 15 to number one. You're going to have to probably give up something pretty big to make that kind of a move, and that's exactly what the Rams did.
They gave it up to the Tennessee Titans. Andrew Brandt, historically trading up for a quarterback, does that work in a situation like this?
Yeah, these are all-in moves by not only the Rams but the Eagles, really trading up at future assets, which in my background with the Packers, we really went the other way. We tried to acquire assets. The more draft picks, the better, kind of a buckshot approach. You have more opportunity to do well the more picks you have. It's hard to know. The only comparison in recent memory is Robert Griffin with the Redskins, who, of course, was Rookie of the Year in that magical rookie year he had in 2012 but went downhill since.
RG3,
RG3 is not a good comparison sort of for long-term success, even though it was short-term. But this is an all-in move. The Rams have their face of the franchise going forward. They have a few years, as you know, before they get into that Shangri-La in Inglewood. And hopefully by the time they do, he'll not only be the star rookie, but he'll be a veteran with experience with a good team around him.
And every move that the Rams are going to be making, and from here on, they're going to be scrutinized because they're featured on HBO. Aren't they going to be on this Hard Knocks program, Andrew?
Yeah, they are. And what's interesting to note is I was 10 years as a executive with the Packers, and it was before this new CBA in 2011, which really restricted money for rookies. So even though, I mean, compared to most people, he's going to make a lot of money. He's going to make about $26 million over 4 years. But in quarterback wages, that's pretty small. And before this new rookie deal, you had quarterbacks making $50, $60 million contracts. So now it's a $26 million contract. And what that allows, as Vinny was talking about, really build a team around it, not be hamstrung by a quarterback salary as a veteran does to a team.
That's like it's the Kobe quandary, right? With
exactly.
The Lakers, yeah.
You're not going to have that with Jared Goff, and it's not only Jared Goff, it's every rookie now, and that's why there's an investment in the quarterback is not as risky as before. You have the money being controlled by this collective bargaining agreement, So you don't really worry about them taking 20% of your cap. It's more like 6% of your cap, and that's easily manageable.
I know, and they're going to be featured, Vinny, on this HBO show, Hard Knocks. I mean, what are we going to be seeing? This is interesting to me because this is also chronicling the relocation of a team from one city to another.
Yeah, you know, obviously anytime you put the cameras on and it could get a little bit intrusive and you know, it's just another bother that, you know, and coaches are notorious for wanting things pretty rigid and they don't want the extra, you know, just having to deal with something like that while they're trying to build their football team in the summer. But it's really a pretty good move by the Rams when you think about it along these terms. They're re-entering Los Angeles for the first time in 22 years. Yeah, you've got a lot of hardcore Ram fans that still remain who know this team, you know, like the back of their hand. But there's a whole bunch of fans that are like, who are these guys? You know, you left 22 years ago, kind of like the dad leaving his family, and we wrote you off, never thought we'd see you again. All of a sudden, you're back on our doorstep. You know, yeah, we want to love you, but we don't even know who you are. So this is a great way for the Rams to be able to market their players to their new fans.
Andrew, the Rams are not the only team dealing with relocation, I mean, or possible relocation. We're still hearing about the Chargers who might possibly move. We're still hearing about the Raiders, the Davis family wanting to move it perhaps to Las Vegas. That's been in the news this week with the NFL draft coming this week. What else are you hearing right now? Do we have any movement on those?
Yeah, a couple of situations. We know that the Chargers are set for this year, and they're moving towards a relationship with San Diego that could be long-term. So they appear to be headlong into negotiations to try to stay with a referendum. The Raiders, as you mentioned, are a different story. They are spreading their look around the country, San Antonio, and now, again, very much publicized meetings with Las Vegas. It's interesting because Roger Goodell said in meetings yesterday that the league is taking a more progressive view of gambling. Normally you'd say, well, Vegas has no shot, but here we are. We're moving a little more evolved view of gambling, so there's a chance. But listen, Mark Davis is a long way from moving to Vegas. He's got to get a stadium proposal. He's got to bring it back. He's got to get 24 owners behind it. And he is not the most popular owner due to mainly his family suing the league many years ago.
Yeah, so, Al didn't make things pretty right with the family between them and the NFL.
He's got an uphill battle to go to Vegas. I think, obviously, we know he's there in Oakland for the short term. We'll see what happens.
And Sheldon Adelson, for his part, the casino magnate in Las Vegas, it says he'll put $1 billion or more to build a stadium. Didn't he say that? A public-private partnership.
There's a lot of money there. Listen, if it goes to Vegas, you know, we're talking about a whole infusion of money coming into the sport. And maybe it's not the kind of money the NFL wants, but that'll change the game if that happens.
Vinny, quickly before we wrap up, 22 years since the Rams have been in L.A., 22 years since the NFL has been in L.A. Is the support still here? Is this team going to be embraced?
Well, I don't know if you saw yesterday, but the Rams had a draft party in downtown Los Angeles.
I saw it,
from,
yeah.
From Staples Center. It was, you know, hugely, hugely popular event and attended event. So I don't think that there's really any problem. Obviously, they're going to have to win, but that's the same for any other market. You know, I kind of laugh sometimes. It's as if Los Angeles is on a different planet. It isn't. You got to do the same things in LA that you have to do in Pittsburgh or anywhere else. Win. You start, you know, put a winning product, a product that fans can be proud of. There are plenty of fans here to tap into, and they are excited, especially now that they got the number one pick and they identified their future quarterback. I think people are starting to get more of a sense like, this could happen too. It has happened, and now we have players to talk about, new players to talk about. So there's definite excitement here in LA.
Well, let's build on that excitement, Shelby. We're going to take the show out with this little gem from so many years ago here in Los Angeles. This is the theme song to the Rams. Ram it! Remember this, guys.
Ram it. Do you know how to ram it? Yes, ram it. Yeah. You know
the song Ram It. Andrew Brandt, NFL business analyst for ESPN. Vincent Bonsignor, sports columnist for the LA Daily News. Thanks you both.
Thank you.
You guys.